This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. A heat wave swept through our nation's capital last week, and I'm not just talking about the weather. Politics are as heated as ever these days. In this atmosphere, it can be hard to imagine members of Congress coming together in spite of their differences to get anything done. On the issue of trade, at least, I believe consensus is not only possible, it is happening. Representatives from the Trump administration, led by U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, and congressional leaders are getting down to brass tacks on the tweaks to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement to win support from members of Congress. Meanwhile, White House and congressional staff are working behind the scenes to lay the groundwork needed for a smooth process once the administration submits the USMCA implementing language for a vote. Support for trade often has bridged political divides. The original North American Free Trade Agreement, which USMCA would modernize and replace, was passed by a vote of 132 Republican and 102 Democratic yeas in the House of Representatives. That bipartisan action has yielded a quadrupling of U.S. agricultural exports since 1993. Our elected leaders recognize that ensuring our economy remains strong with access to foreign customers is a goal that's too big to fail. Members of Congress may have different ideas about the best route to achieve that goal, but ultimately, most agree we must get there. Ratifying USMCA is critical not just because of what's in the agreement, but because of its symbolism. Approval would set off a positive domino effect of successful trade negotiations and agreements around the world. That matters not just here in North America, but across the Atlantic and Pacific, in China, Japan, the European Union, Great Britain, and potentially other nations and regions. I don't have to tell you how important it is to bolster our negotiations with China in particular, as we struggle with tariffs that have slashed U.S. agricultural exports to that country. Showing all our trade partners that we can get deals done would encourage them to belly up to the negotiating table and go back to their farmers, industries, and legislative bodies with a message of determination to make the compromises necessary to secure a deal with the world's largest economy, the USA. Of course, what's in the agreement is a worthy goal in itself. Updated, fair rules and improved access for biotech products, dairy, wheat, poultry, and other U.S. ag exports. The International Trade Commission has said the USMCA would improve market access for U.S. farmers, ranchers, and food producers and have a positive impact on the U.S. agriculture sector. That would be like water on a wilting plant. Agriculture surely and sorely needs a positive impact right now, with farm income far below what it was 5 years ago. Our congressional leaders in both parties know we have to get this deal done. They know how important it is to agriculture and to our nation. What they may not know is whether their constituents in their states and districts will have their backs when they vote for the agreement. That's where you come in. Over the August congressional recess, we have an opportunity to repeat and reiterate the importance of USMCA to America's farmers and ranchers. We have the opportunity, the imperative, to send those members of Congress back to Washington in early September with the backbone to do the right thing for agriculture and the economy. I don't intend to let that opportunity pass, and I hope you won't either. We can and must plow forward and unleash our nation's economic and productive power around the world. It's important for trade, and it's important for our can-do national identity. We must show the world that, yes, our politics are loud and messy, but we get things done. The federal government's announcement of plans to expand and expedite the deportation of undocumented workers prompted a forceful call for guest worker reforms by AFPF President Zippy Duvall. "We are a nation of laws, and farmers believe our laws must be followed. But our laws also ought to allow for an adequate legal workforce," Duvall said in a statement issued on Tuesday. He also said farmers deserve better than to be forced to leave crops in the field because there aren't enough workers to help with harvest. Stronger immigration enforcement should be coupled with an improved and more affordable H-2A guest worker program. Currently, Farmers with year-round worker needs, such as dairy and livestock, are unable to use the program, and that's not right. An adequate workforce is needed to address issues ranging from food waste to farm sustainability. America disagrees on many things, but surely we can agree we need to keep putting healthy food on the table. It is no secret that weather has been a tremendous challenge for farmers across the country, delaying or even preventing them from getting their crops in the ground and causing great uncertainty in the corn and soybean markets. This weather has led to the worst reported crop conditions since 2012. However, the rainy weather has had the opposite effect on range and pasture across much of the U.S. The Agriculture Department's July 15th Crop Progress and Condition Report showed 68% of the nation's pasture was rated as good to excellent. This rating is well above the 10-year average of 54%, and it is the highest rating for this week since 1995, when the data was first collected. At the other end of the spectrum, only 8% of pasture is rated as poor to very poor. Another record metric and the lowest rating since 1995, this rating is less than half the normal percentage for this time of year. As the 10-year average for poor to very poor sits at 20%, significantly above this report's rating. The economy grew at a real rate of 3.1% in the first quarter of 2019, the Bureau of Economic Analysis reminded us last week. Though we knew the top-line numbers related to how the economy performed January through March, the most recent industry report gives us more detail. At the headline level, goods-producing industries, agriculture, forestry, fishing, hunting, mining, construction, and manufacturing, provided 0.86% of the growth in gross domestic product. In this column, all discussion of GDP growth will be in real terms. The service-producing industries, which are pretty much everything else, utilities, wholesale and retail trade, transportation, warehousing, information, finance, insurance, real estate, rental and leasing, professional and business services, educational services, healthcare, social assistance, arts, entertainment, recreation, accommodation, food services, and other services except government, combined to grow the overall economy by 2.36%. Agricultural research, whether it's conducted here in the United States or abroad, has forever transformed the landscape of farming. From the hybridization of plant species and the production of biofuels to the utilization of precision agricultural technologies, when countries invest in agricultural research, the world benefits. Additionally, providing economic development programs to developing countries reduces poverty rates and increases purchasing power, which expands market opportunities for U.S. farmers. According to the Agriculture Department's Foreign Agricultural Service, the U.S. provided $49.87 billion, or 1.2% of total U.S. gross domestic product, in assistance to developing countries, with 44% of that dedicated to economic development programs. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.